Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship with Pastor Steve Whitaker. My name is Nate Redmond, and it is my honor to hand you over to the host of the program. Here is Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Hey, everybody. This is a wonderful Tuesday evening. It's I love this weather. I wish that we'd have at least two more months of summer. I'm not sure we're going to, but I would certainly love to. Anyway, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and hopefully Bible-obedient church. You can reach us at 740-494-2222, and come and see us on Sunday mornings. Love to have you. We're at 209 East Water Street. Hey, today I have a dear friend with me today. His name is Clint Calvin. Clint is a friend, and he attends our church. And Clint was—he's been on a couple times, but I thought I'd bring him back on. He's kind of getting pretty close to being completely on the mend, as good as you'll ever be.
Yes.
And from an accident that he had, how long has it been, Clint?
It's been over 2 years now.
Has it?
Yeah.
Do you remember what month it was?
It was May of 17.
May of 17. So, it's been a while. Clint, I'm going to let you basically tell everyone from when the accident happened up until the point that that you woke up in the hospital.
Okay. Well, it's a Saturday evening, and we were just hanging out in the backyard. It was Labor Day weekend. And I had wrecked my bicycle, and I went over the handlebars, and I hit my face on the concrete. And my wife took me to the hospital, where they then life-flighted me to Grant. And at Grant, I underwent a series of surgeries, the first to reconstruct my face and try to just get me stabilized. The second was to put my mouth back together, and then the third was due to an infection that I got while I was in the hospital, and they had to go and do a washout of my brain cavity because the infection had surrounded my brain.
So when this first happened, what were all the initial injuries, and what is your recollection of the situation?
I remember right after wrecking the bike, standing up and looking around, but everything was purple and upside down. And then I vaguely remember walking into the hospital. And then after that, being woken up by my family. I'd been in and out of consciousness, but most of it I don't remember.
So when did they lifelight you if you walked into the hospital?
It was about an hour and a half later.
Okay.
It wasn't very long.
So Jen took you to the hospital?
Yeah, Jen drove me to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah, and I walked in, and they did a x-ray of my face, and that's when they got the helicopter coming.
So what was your what were the injuries?
Well, it was they call it a L4-3 fracture, and that is where every bone in your face is broken and crushed. And then I also had cranial fractures, and I destroyed my jaw bones, my eye sockets, my nose. I knocked teeth out. I destroyed my chin. I shattered my forehead. And so my first surgeries were reconstructing all of that and making sure they all had proper blood flow.
Okay. How long were you out in the hospital? Were you ever a period of time where you were out for an extended period of time?
Yeah, pretty much from the day of the accident until about probably June 25th, I have no recollection of anything that was real.
Okay.
Real as far as in interactions with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot. I'm not going to say that it was darkness, but there was times where things were going on inside my mind, which had been, my brain was severely damaged in the accident. So there was and not to mention the medications that they had me on, there was some things that just didn't seem right sometimes.
Yeah. Did, if you don't mind telling us, tell us what all new parts you've got.
Oh, well, I've had two new foreheads.
Yes, we know that.
Yeah, I got, I've got two new eye sockets, new nose, titanium jaws, gas struts in my mouth that make my jaws operate properly, and a plastic chin, and then a piece implanted in my throat from where I crushed my esophagus.
So your jaws are actually titanium cable, right?
Yes. Yes, they
and
are.
They tied those right back into your palate.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing to look at you today. And for those of you who don't know Clint or haven't seen him, you look great. Compared to even when I first met you with the, well, I knew you long before the accident, mm-hmm. but when I first saw you after the accident, the first forehead didn't quite fit you as well as, it's amazing that they reconstructed everything as well as they did. And, you know, your eye sockets being titanium, now you are left with, you have no sense of smell, right?
No sense of smell.
Which, of course, affects taste.
I have very, very little sense of taste.
So that's because of the damage to the nose and the,
yeah, and the whole area.
The whole area.
Yep.
Pretty interesting. Yep. So we've got all these things going on. You're pretty well. I know that you still struggle in a few with some areas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as being able to function, you know, it's miraculous that you're even here with us.
Yes, it is.
And if I understand right, you did have a brain infection. They almost lost you.
They did. I was in really bad shape. They had to go back in. From ear to ear across the top of my head, they cut me. And then they used a bone saw to open up what little pieces of my head they could. They had to take the first forehead they put in back out, and whatever bone was in there they had to remove, and then they had to wash out inside of my brain sac the entire brain cavity. That caused a secondary traumatic brain injury apart from the accident, because anytime your brain is pushed around or moved, there's the ability for it to get bruised, and when it gets bruised, that's when damage happens to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the middle of that surgery, and my blood pressure just went off the charts. My pulse went off the charts. My breathing was labored. I mean, everything started going downhill really, really fast. And in my mind, I felt it slipping away. But there was a point of just complete peace and calm and bliss that came over me. And in that moment, I just knew. I was just like, I think I'm going to be okay.
Well, I don't think God was done with you yet, was he?
No. He's got more for me to do, that's for sure.
Clint, this whole situation's been difficult on, I know, on all of you, your whole family.
Yeah.
And you know, during this time also, Jennifer's had hip replacement surgery.
Yes.
Major hip replacement
yes.
surgery. And it's just been a tough time for the whole family. And what I find unbelievable, not unbelievable, because I know how God is, and I know how it is when you give your life to the Lord and you surrender to God, and how he brings you through things.
Yeah.
But one thing that, if you don't mind me sharing, you know, prior to Clint having this accident, Clint made really good money.
Yes, I
between
did.
You and Jennifer both.
Yeah.
Really good jobs. You guys basically, whatever you desired to go do, you could do.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to buy something, you just bought it.
Yep.
You were living the American dream.
Yes, we certainly
right?
were.
Right? Living
we
the American dream. But you told me that since this accident that you're closer to God than you've ever been.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's easy to thank God when times are good. It's easy to thank God when times are good, when you have everything that you need, when you have everything that you want. I believe that fire hardens steel, in the fact that sometimes you just have to go through the fire to know how great God really is and how much of a blessing he can be in your life if you would just trust him.
That's the hardest part sometimes, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
But he put you in a position of either trust or die.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And I hope that, you know, most of us don't have to go to that position. But it's like you said, that fire does strengthen us. That fire does give us more faith and more hope. And it's really funny you mentioned that. In Sunday I was talking about in service about how the things that we go through, while they may not be something that you're happy about at the time, something you may regret, something that just seems like, why am I going through this, Lord? You know, but then when we come out the other side, maybe it was Sunday night I was talking about that, but when we come out the other end, after time, you look back and you say, I see what God was doing now.
Yeah.
And I see why, because of the difference in our lives and what he does around us.
Yeah. It's like the old poem, Footprints in the Sand, when the man was able to get a glimpse of his life as a sandy beach. And, you know, here he is walking with God, and there's four sets of footprints in the sand. But each time they get to one of the really hard parts of this man's life, the parts where he was really going to fall, the parts where he was really needing God, he only saw two footprints in the sand. And he said, Lord, if these were the hardest points of my life, why are there only my footprints there? And the Lord looks at him and he says, those aren't your footprints, son. Those are mine. I was carrying you.
And that's something that we forget sometimes. You know, I look at, I know more people that have gone through trials and end up with wonderful ministries that come out of it, and some of the coolest things in the world. You know, I've talked about this before. When my losing my father when I was 13 was very, very traumatic on me, and I don't think that I realized till later in life how much it did affect me.
Yeah.
Probably for the next 5-6 years after that point, I just wasn't thinking straight. It was such a traumatic thing, and it affected how I acted. It affected, you turn into the class clown at school.
Yeah.
People walk out of your lives, or you force them out of your lives because you don't want a closeness. You fear it. All these things happen. But you know what's interesting is that was such a tragedy. My dad was only 40. My mom still had three of us left at home, and I used to think, God, why? And now that I look back, you know, at my age, and I see how God's hand worked through everything that came out of that, God did some miraculous things in lives that would have never happened had that not happened.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, I don't know that I'd be in ministry today if that hadn't happened. And I also don't know if I would have the compassion for people that go through difficulties if I had not gone through some of those difficulties.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we have to go through those things and come out the other end and find out, you know, God was there all along.
Yeah.
And I know, Clint, I know you much better now than I did prior to your accident. Our sole contact back then was men's breakfast. Men's breakfast with a common friend, Dave.
Yeah, once a month.
But I know that you seem to be, I don't know if you've always been as compassionate as you are, but you are a very compassionate person, a very understanding person. And that comes out of that too, doesn't it?
It does. A lot of it does. As a younger man, I was very angry.
Me too.
I was... Well, you and I have had many talks, and we've both kind of snickered at the fact of where we've gotten to.
Yeah.
And some of the people that we knew back then, if you would have told them then that he was going to be a pastor and I was going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, they'd laugh you out of the room. But
well,
here
you know,
we sit.
God's amazing. God's amazing.
God is good.
I tell everybody, you know, there's a gutter right beside me, and it's just one step away.
One step away.
And you know, God is so amazing. Without God, none of this stuff makes any sense.
That's right.
And we certainly keep looking forward and moving forward.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that one of the cool things in having this discussion and with what you've come through, and I know that you just gave it to the Lord.
Yes.
I know that, you know, going into some of your later surgeries, you know, our talks beforehand, that, you know, you were just trusting God and going ahead with it.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that you can come through the other side.
You certainly can.
You know, and nothing is a end-all, be-all, it's never going to be right again type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, in my case, people would laugh. And say, Steve Whitaker's a pastor. Yeah, and I've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that when I was giving my mom's eulogy, there were a lot of people there that I hadn't seen in many, many, many years, and you could just see the room abuzz of people.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me, and you know, I understand that. I understand that, and the point is though that when you look at what God does, they had every reason to think how they did.
They did.
Those people did. But when you look at what God does, you see how wonderful God is and what He can do when you surrender yourself and your life and your will to Him.
Yeah. Amen.
And
amen.
I mean, you're doing pretty good right now, I think.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
You're doing. You know? You're getting by every day.
You're
enjoying some family time again, which has been hard for us. That's another area that we didn't really discuss that I know has been really tough. Is this was hard on your girls, too. You have three daughters.
Yes, I do. It was hard on them. They each took it a different way. And dealing with each different way has been a struggle at times. But, again, you know, when you walk forth, and this is one thing I'm so proud of my girls for, is that they trust in the Lord.
You know, and that is something that I think is very impressive because here's three girls that...
At the time, they were 12, 11, and 7.
12, 11, and 7.
Yeah.
And they could go to the mall, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Or anywhere else they wanted to go with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And probably get the things they wanted. And they went from that to having next to nothing overnight.
Yep.
And a dad that may not live and may live.
Yeah.
And a mom that can't work now because of her condition.
Yes.
Wow, I mean, that's a hard blow for kids to take. That can turn them real negative real quick.
Yeah, that's one of those rock hard place things
where
they just... But, you know, I've had those girls in church since they were tiny. They prayed every day. And they gave my situation to the Lord. They gave their situation to the Lord. God uses everything for good.
He does.
And He has brought a situation about to where my family can survive. We can be together. And we're enjoying our lives.
You know, I think sometimes, Clint, I think we just have to be, as people, as Christian people, we just have to be willing to say, Lord, I can't do anything about this situation.
Yeah.
I have to give it wholly to You. Even though I wasn't living right as a young man.
You still had that fear.
Well, and I still had that understanding that I know that when my kids were born, I had the same prayer with every one of them. As soon as they were born, I said, God, I do not have the ability to raise these kids the way that You can. And I said, here and now, I'm giving these kids to You as their father. I'm handing over the reins to You to guide their lives, to direct them, and pray that they become the children You want them to be.
Yes.
Because I'm not strong enough for this.
Mm-mm.
And God has very much honored that.
Yeah.
I have a huge family. You know, all our kids have been in church for years. They serve in the church, every one of them serving in some form. And, you know, what a blessing that is to see them. And now I have grandchildren that are serving in the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's God.
That's God.
That's God. I mean, that's not Steve by any stretch.
No.
And
that was you recognizing the fact that you needed God in this situation. You let Him into the situation. And the situation flourished.
Yeah, and that's the answer. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And in your case, you know, you could have said, you could have been laid in that hospital bed and come home and said, man, this has ruined my life. I don't trust God anymore. You know, why did God do this? We were going to church. We were giving our tithe every week. We were blah, 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 blah. You know, why am I like, you know, but you didn't. Because you understand that this isn't it, is it?
No, no.
This is
I got a little taste of having the Holy Spirit completely indwell my body. And if that is just a portion of what we are going to get in heaven.
This is just a stopping point.
This is just a stopping point.
But we're not to stop while we're here.
No, 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 no.
No, we have, and this is what's hard. I know it is for me. A lot of times I'll say as a pastor something's hard, but that's not really a fair statement, because as anyone that knows God and has a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's hard for them in this manner that we see so many people that we just want to say, look, if you'll just surrender to God, you'll get through this. If you'll just surrender, if you just give your life to the Lord, things will be better, your life will be better. And everything about it.
Yes.
And you can, you know, this can happen.
Yeah.
And because you've seen it, you've lived it.
Yeah.
But then people just say, oh, I got to keep doing it my way.
Yeah.
I got to keep fighting the system.
As disciples of Jesus Christ, we want that inner peace that we have for everyone that we love.
Everyone.
Everyone. And even those that we don't even know. I mean, if I could wave a magic wand and have everybody on planet Earth feel the way that I do because of Christ's love, oh, man, we'd be living in a much different world.
Yeah, but that's not the way God's plan for things to happen.
No,
is
it isn't. But
He's given us this ability to
say no.
He doesn't want spoiled kids.
No.
And but you know, people can actually Chain have just a completely different life.
Yeah.
If they'll just get to that point of understanding, you know, let me ask you a question out there. If you've not surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never considered it, if you think the Bible is a bunch of hooey, or maybe you've just been taught to believe it's wrong, I know it's true. I know that it's true. I'm not saying that it's my opinion that it's true. I'm not saying it's my truth. I'm telling you it is the truth. Now, with that being said, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, how's that going for you? Honestly. You know, I can ask people, how's things really going for you? Are things getting you where you need to be? Or is it just an empty pit? Well, we know things don't get you where. I mean, you desire all these things, but you seek them and you get them, and you're still not happy. If that made you happy, Hollywood wouldn't be killing themselves and drug addicts and everything else that's going on. Why would those people do that stuff? They got it all, right? Because they don't have it all.
No,
there's an empty spot, and that empty spot is our desire to know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And that's the empty spot in everyone's life. You can fill it with anything you want. Yeah. You can fill it with
stuff,
with hobbies, with lusts, with activities, with do-gooder stuff.
Yeah.
You know, things that make you look good, things that make you feel good, helping other people. You can fill it with all those things. But for some reason, there's a void still there.
That's because you're doing it for your glory, not the Lord's.
Ah, bingo, exactly. And I've even seen it in the church. People say, oh, I tried the church. It didn't work for me. I did all this stuff and was still unhappy. And they answer their own problem. They did all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a matter. It's not what you do. It's who does it through you.
Yeah.
And that involves surrendering your life to Him.
Yeah.
I know in a day and age we live that most young people aren't even taught to know anything of God. Most of the time when they hear the word God, it's followed by damn.
Yep.
And that's just a fact.
That's a tough place to be.
And I even heard a politician the other day using that kind of language. I'm like, are you kidding me? Buddy, I'm telling you, that's not a good thing for you to be doing.
No.
But anyway, the point is, search things out.
Yeah.
Don't believe what you've been told. You know, we're told that if he knock, we knock, he'll answer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So why don't we try it?
What can it hurt?
Search it out.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm telling you, nothing is working for America today. Nothing is working, no matter how many things we are given, no matter how many things we have, no matter how well we live. We are one of the most miserable societies in the world. And I see people in some of the poorest countries in the world that know Jesus and grin from ear to ear when you talk to them.
Yeah.
People that eat a handful of rice every day and a couple pieces of fish are happy as larks. Why is that? It's because it's inner peace.
Yeah.
It's not fueled by something temporal.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us that anything that is not in Christ is like wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burnt up. It's not worth anything.
It's no good.
And we have to believe that. We have to know that there's something far better than what this world has to offer.
Yeah.
And value life.
Take a look at all those dark things in your life and ask yourself, how are these helping me? How am I better today because of this?
You won't find it.
And if you can't find it as darkness either, you got to take an even harder look.
Yeah, you do. You do. We've been taught today in American society that a lot of things that God calls evil are normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get past that.
This is incorrect.
You know, we can't do this stuff. No. Nate Redmond's with us tonight, and he's operating the board over there tonight, and I'm going to drag him into this conversation. Nate, you've just been sitting over there patiently listening. Give us some thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys are spot on what you're talking about. You know, my wife and I kind of went through a, I guess you would call it a career change back in 2014, where we were kind of in the same situation you were, where we could get just about, you know, whatever we wanted. You know, we weren't considered rich by any means, but, you know, we were very, very comfortable. And then I got sick and then needed time off, and then subsequently lost my job after that and couldn't work, and mom and dad had to pay the bills, and we just barely got by, and she ended up getting a part-time job, and still we just couldn't make it. But through all that, the Lord was with us, you know, and even though, you know, that bill came through the mail and we were wondering how in the world we were going to pay it, there was a peace there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing that God gives us, is that peace through the trials.
You know, that's a good point. And that's something that I try to constantly be repetitive with from the pulpit, is the fact that, you know, surrendering to the Lord and trusting Him doesn't mean that all the problems go away.
Yeah.
But it means you have a peace through the problems.
Yes.
There's the difference.
That's...
You know, you see people that, you know, they lose everything, that they lose their house, they lose their income, they lose things, and they just fall apart. I mean, just, you've seen it happen. People just literally fall apart. You know, couples get divorced because a job's lost, mm-hmm. and they don't have the money they had.
Yeah.
You know, to have the peace to know that, you know what, I can go live in a one-room apartment tomorrow if I need to. God's got me.
Yeah.
I don't need things. Most of you see the way that I dress most of the time. You know that I probably don't have things. because I'm just not, you know, you're not going to see me in an $800 suit.
No.
And that's fine if you do, don't get me wrong. But I'm pretty happy with a Hawaiian shirt and whatever else. But, you know, it's just because I don't care.
No.
I mean, I want to be presentable, but you know, the point is, I'm not a things person. I was joking with a guy last night. We had a fire department meeting. I serve as the EMT and a chaplain with Battle Run, and we were talking about $250 cars, and I said I've had a few of those. And he looked at me and said, a few? And he said, I've had a few of those too. I said, you know what? And they worked, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that, and I'm glad that I had a very frugal mother that was very wise and taught me some of those things. But one thing that I've learned, I know that when I was younger, I had a lot of aspirations of wealth. And I had a business that was going great guns, and I had a lot of people working for me. And I used to, my plan was to retire in my 50s. But I got to tell you this, I'll get back to the story. But since I've realized and given my life fully to the service of Christ, I realize there's no retirement date now.
No.
So, you know, God doesn't retire us.
No, he doesn't.
He uses us till the day that we're gone. So I have no plans of retirement at any point. But anyway, when I would think about the things I could acquire, I would get this depressed feeling come over me, like an emptiness. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God, for that, because that emptiness was Him telling me, you're not going to be happy, buddy.
No.
That's not what I've got in store for you.
It's not what you're looking for.
And even through the time of going through my schooling and preparing for ministry, my thought was, you know, well, when I get done, I'll probably be in a church and I'll do pretty well. And I'll be able to, I'll be comfortable and blah, blah, blah. And then I got out of, got ready to, my ordination was coming up. And someone approached me about church planning, a church where there hadn't been one.
Mm-hmm.
One that they felt was, they needed one in the town. And we started the church, and it was just a handful of people. There was no money there. And it wasn't something that was an associational plant where there's funding behind it, because quite frankly, we were flying by the seat of our pants, and they don't really like to see that happen anyway.
Yeah.
But when God leads and directs you to do something,
you do it.
When someone came to me and says, "Hey, Steve, let's plant a church in Prospect," and I thought, "No, I don't want to plant a church in Prospect. Why would I want to do that?" That's my first thought. But God would not leave me alone, and lo and behold, we did.
Yeah.
And now that the church has been around a lot of years, and the point is that God continually changes us,
mm-hmm.
even after that point of surrender to Him. He changes our desires. He changes our wants. I've told this story before, and it's a pretty funny story. My wife and I were on vacation. We don't take those very often, but we happened to be on one. And we were driving down the coast of Florida, down the east coast of Florida, and we came through a place called Coral Ridge. Well, Coral Ridge is where Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church is, where D. James Kennedy was a pastor for many, many, many years. You can still get his stuff on tape. And I always liked listening to D. James Kennedy. So anyway, I said, let's pull in and check it out. So we pulled in, and we went in the office service door of the church because it was midweek. And they met us at the door, at the opening, and very, very friendly people. And I told them why I was there, that I just stopped in. They said, "Oh, make yourselves at home, walk through the church, do whatever you want." They said, "Down this whole hallway are a whole bunch of his sermons and pamphlets. Take as much or many as you want, whatever ones you want." I thought that was cool. And we walked into that sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And the sanctuary is just massive, man. I mean, it's huge. And this was a time when I was first, beginning ministry and on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
And I walked in, and the choir's practicing, and they got this mind-blowing giant pipe organ, and I'm looking around, and I look up there, and I see his pulpit, and in this pulpit, he had that strange acoustic speaker that hung over top of that thing that was like modern art, looked really weird, So I was looking at that, and one of the ladies in the church said, "Hey," she said, "you can go up there and go up in his pulpit." She said, "I'll tell you what," my wife was taking some pictures of the place. She said, "Go up in the pulpit if you'd like your wife to take a picture of you up there, I'll go up top and I'll turn on some lights to the stage." And she did. And I went up there, and it was kind of cool. I walked up in his pulpit, and his study Bible was laying there, very worn and tattered. And I thought, man, this is really cool. I'm looking out, and I thought, man, this has to be an amazing thing. So anyway, long story short, we get home. We develop the pictures. Now, this is back when you still got film developed.
Yeah.
Anyway, develop the pictures. Oh, our pictures came out magnificently. Except for the ones of me in that pulpit, they weren't there. They were blanks.
Wow.
I said, "Thank you, Lord. Heaven forbid I get too proud."
Yeah.
"Or shoot for something you don't want me to do."
Yeah.
And he didn't. And I very quickly began to realize over the next couple of years that God wanted me to love people, to serve Him,
mm-hmm.
to be a servant to people, and to teach other people. And by no means did He ever want me on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And I thank Him every day for that.
Amen. Amen.
That's great that people do that. It's great that those people are called to those places. But I wasn't one of them.
They are called.
They are called.
We are all called for our own individual reasons. He has a plan for each and every one of us.
He truly does.
All you have to do is ask him for it.
And we need to be happy with that plan.
Yeah.
You know, I never understood pastors that would take stepping stone jobs. Like, you know, you start out small and then you get so, then you go to another church. To me, and I guess that's okay if that's the road you're on, but I just think, you know, we should be happy to serve wherever we are.
Wherever.
God's using us. God uses people. You know, some of the people I know that have great works have been accepted Christ in some of those obscure places with obscure people that led them to the Lord.
Yeah.
And they've done mighty things for the Lord. And many of you know people like that. And listening to testimonies of those people is truly amazing. The other night I was at a gun shoot, but what would you call it?
Like a gun club event.
Yeah, we went to a church down in Circleville. My son-in-law's, one of his co-workers, is very active in that church there, Crossroads Church down in Circleville. And they were having, they had a lot of acreage there, and they were having a game dinner and a shoot. They had like a rifle course and a shotgun course and a couple different pistol courses. And invited him down, and he invited me, and we went down, and man, I had some great, very rare elk. I don't mean the elks are rare. I mean, it was just cooked right. But anyway, I had some elk and some what else did I have?
You said you had moose.
I had moose, yeah. Moose, and I had some steak. It was great. But anyway, leave it to me to talk about food. But anyway, Anthony Schlegel, that played for Ohio State, was there, and he gave his testimony. And it was just fantastic because, you know, here's a kid that, you know, ended up at Ohio State. He didn't start out there, but he ended up at Ohio State, had a great career. And now he's strength coach, one of the strength coaches at Ohio State, but loves to share what Christ has done in his life and continues to do so, and is not afraid of his testimony anywhere. His job, his position, everything he is, pales in comparison to how he feels about the Lord and the Lord and his life and his family. And, you know, praise God for that.
Amen.
Praise God for that. And we need more people speaking up. Don't ever be afraid to share what God has done in your life to people.
Mm-mm.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where the Lord's taking you, Clint.
I don't either.
I'm why in the world he would have kept you around, I don't know. But
you got me too.
No, but he brought you through all this for a real reason.
Yes, he did.
And now, you know, a lot of people would think, well, now you've made it through the fire. But the truth of the matter is, now comes the difficult part, in a way.
Yeah.
And what I mean by the difficult part, I shouldn't say the challenging part. That's a better way to put it. And the challenge is for you to stay faithful and stay humble and say, Lord, continue to direct me and lead me, and I'm not going to force anything.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to force anything.
Mm-mm.
You know, God's going to direct us and lead us. You know, if he brought you to the point and kept you alive, you know, I don't have to tell you what you owe him.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, and what we all do.
Yeah.
I mean, his death on the cross for our sin was just, you know, unbelievable. We should be falling at his feet.
Yeah, I will say him saving my life was one thing, but honestly, on the daily, God keeps me alive. Everything I am and everything that I have is because of my Father in heaven.
I thank you for saying that because it's true. And nobody pulls themselves up by their bootstraps.
No.
We've heard that old saying.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is a self-made man.
No.
If God takes his hand off you, you're done.
You're done for.
Because I have to be honest with you, Satan hates your guts.
This world will tear you apart.
Satan hates you.
Hates you.
And you know, without the hand of God on your life, you know, even if you're not a believer, God's still keeping you alive.
Yeah, yeah.
His
blessing is still upon us.
And, you know, so from, you know, from the things we've said today and talked about, we're either completely crazy or recognize that we're unbelievably blessed.
I'll choose the latter.
Yeah, me too. I might be a little crazy too.
Well, you know, two brain injuries.
Most people think that I'm crazy.
Yeah, well, me too.
Yeah, It goes to the territory.
It does, doesn't it? Come down and see us.
Yeah, you'll see.
Yeah, come down and see us.
Phones are not supposed to ring this time of day.
No, they are.
All right, you did anyway. Hey, that was a phone call that came in, and we just blew you off, whoever it was. But anyway, you know, it is true. And, you know, I love church. I love the people of church. That's something else we miss today is the community of church. You know, people don't know what they're missing by not having a church family.
No, if you don't have any friends, I mean, I know where you can pick up about 40 or 50 of them in one Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like a church, you know, we have, you know, we have great guys that we run around with to hang out with.
Yep.
You know, and we just rag on each other horribly.
Oh, horribly.
but we're right there for each other, and we love each other, and you know, just to see... for instance, I've got a Marvin's going in for surgery tomorrow, you guys.
Okay.
Keep Marvin Moore in prayer if you're out there. He's having back surgery tomorrow. And Eric Yoder just came home from back surgery,
yes,
so keep him in prayer also.
Yes,
but anyway, Marvin, you know, he knows he has a whole church family praying for him going in. What a wonderful thing to know. You know that? And it truly is. And we've had so many people in our church that have gone through so much.
Yeah.
And people are there to pray for them, to love them, to be there, to knock on doors and bring them things they need. All those things that happen because we're God's people.
Amen to that.
I don't understand people that say Christians are haters. If there's people out there that are haters, they're either very poor Christians or not Christians at all, or just using the name.
Yeah.
Because as Christians, I hate no one. Mm-hmm. There are things I believe are wrong. I know are wrong. Scripture tells me. But just because I believe something's wrong...
doesn't mean I hate you.
Right. And if I don't want you to do it, it's because I love you.
That's right.
And I don't want you to go down that road.
Yeah.
And my desire is for you to know the Jesus I know and know what he has for us.
Absolutely.
Right? Nate?
That's right. I agree 100%.
All right. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hey, we... I want to give you guys some information while we're on here, some things just to think about. One, we are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. By the way, our school supply giveaway went great last week. All the churches in the area got together at Elgin, and I think we ended up serving... it ended up being like 110 or 20 kids ended up getting all their school supplies that day.
That's fantastic.
That was wonderful. And I tell you that to tell you that I want to thank all the churches out there that came together and made this thing happen. And but we're getting ready for the first Sunday in October. We have something, we call it our Fall Day in the Park. And we take the park in Prospect, which is a gorgeous park. Everyone knows the park in Prospect. But anyway, we have music and games and hayrides and food. Nothing costs anyone a dime, and everyone's invited. The community is just a great time, and people love to bring their families in and enjoy the entertainment. And Ted drives the tractor and the hayride, and that's scary for everybody. it's a really great time, and I want to be. It's the first Sunday in October at Prospect Park. We usually get things kicked off about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but also coming up this fall, here in just a few weeks, we'll be starting up Team Kid again, which is from 3 years old up to fifth grade at church every Tuesday night at 6:30, from 6:30 till 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Parents, you can drop your kids off. They'll be safe. They'll enjoy their time. They'll have games, snacks, and I always mention snacks.
No,
too,
I have them but snacks.
Games, snacks, and a good Bible lesson. And then I also, Pizza with the Pastor will be kicking off, where I take the kids in town that want to go. We go to Sporty's Pizza, and any teenager that wants to come, and we just let them tell me what's on their mind, and we field things from a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
So just a lot of neat things going on.
My older girls love it.
Well, that's a great thing they do.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to get off here in just a minute. Been a great time on here with Clint. I know that God is going to continually bless your life.
I know that.
And
too.
He has so far. You got a wonderful family. You're a great addition to the church. We love having you there. I look forward to how the Lord's going to use you in ministry. And I know that he's going to use you in some form of ministry the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you know what a blessing that is. But hey, out there, we love you guys. We'll look forward to seeing you all next week. And don't forget, we also have the Over the Fence with Pastor Steve and Scott, which will air on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. No, tomorrow's Wednesday. Thursday morning at 7 a.m. But anyway, you can also go to wwgh.com and look at archives. You can get all the past shows. Hey, God bless you guys. Come see us in Prospect. Night.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. That's if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon.